I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Minutes on the timer, and the topic is alcohol, part two.
Yeah, alcohol again, because things done changed.
Things done change, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny because we were just having a chat over Christmas, and you shocked me. You really shocked me. You said that you'd stopped drinking.
Well, not over Christmas. I'd stopped drinking. My last drink was New Year's Eve. It's just the obvious thing, isn't it? Like Dry January. It's been excessive, not just over the Christmas period, but it's been excessive since March, since lockdown, when your everyday responsibilities in terms of going to work or traveling to London or just moving around constantly, or you know, you could work completely from home and do everything from home, socialize from home, speak to your friends from home, your relationships with your kids and your family, everything's at home in one place. And you realize that obviously a working day isn't, no one, unless you're mad motivated, no one works 9 to 5 solidly. Like, I'll do most of my work if I can get away with it in the first few hours of the day, and then maybe record a podcast in the evening, which is helped by having a little drink. So it was almost like, why not? And that why not became into like a habitual thing. And I kind of realized it towards the end, towards the end of the first lockdown, that I was drinking much heavier than I had done previously. Anyway, come to a head on New Year's Eve. Not that anything dramatic happened, but it was just round the table with my missus, and we said, should we do Dry January? And I was like, yeah. And the main motivation for me was to check that I could do it, because I had reservations, but if I couldn't do it, then what does that mean?
Yeah. No, I like the idea of testing yourself. I've done that before with betting. I stopped betting for 6 months just to prove to myself that I could do it, because again, it was habitual. I was, you know, not doing huge bets, but I was putting accumulators on every week, and sometimes I'd chase my losses and stuff, and it was just getting silly. So I just thought, right, this is it. No more betting. And I haven't gambled in, God, a year now, probably.
Did you find that you were hankering to have a bet though afterwards? Did you find an urge to do it?
Initially I missed putting the accumulators on, because I enjoyed the process of doing that and finding, you know, who I thought might win that week, etc. But no, after a while, I don't miss it at all. In fact, it's something I never think about anymore. In terms of alcohol, though, I've had a similar thing to you, but not through choice. I've had a stomach condition for the last, God, what, 4 months, 5 months now. And latterly, I was told that I have to stop drinking alcohol, stop drinking caffeine, and avoid fatty foods for 2 months to see if my stomach condition will clear up by itself. All the fun stuff, basically. Anything, you know, there aren't many fun things going on in life at the moment. I've been locked down since March. I can't go anywhere. I've literally been to one shop, the pharmacy, the doctors, and the hospital, and that's it since March. So alcohol was something I would enjoy a few times a week just to sort of give myself something to look forward to, I suppose. And it's been tricky. It's been quite tricky.
I did it every day, though. Windy.
Yeah,
every day.
Yeah, I do remember you saying that on the first podcast we did about alcohol, that you would open a bottle of red wine, and we both spoke about how it made us more creative.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely. I'm not saying I'm never going to drink again. I definitely am. I love drinking, right? But it's about whether or not you're in control of it or it's in control of you. And to a certain degree, I think if you like alcohol to the degree that I do. That it will always be there. It will always have an element of control because in it's at the time of recording 8 days since I last had a drink, and when I say that, it sounds like an alcoholic talking. I last had a drink. I am sober. That kind of thing. But that's the reality. You know, the reality is currently I am sober. What I needed to do by doing this was to ensure that if I wanted to, I could stop, and I knew that I could, and I had to prove that. And I feel like I have. The first couple of days was really tough, harder than I thought it was going to be, which sort of showed to me that there probably is a problem. But I persevered, I got through it. And the last couple of days, apart from just thinking, oh, it'd be nice to have a drink now, sitting down on the sofa or watching football, it's nice to have a beer watching football. Apart from that, it's been relatively easy, and I don't feel like I will have an issue going through till the 31st of January. So that's a really positive thing. But it did surprise me how much I wanted to drink in the first couple of days, first three or four days. It was that was a little bit alarming. And to go back to what you said, the creativity aspect of it. I was a little bit worried about the podcast, to be honest. I was thinking, am I going to be myself? Am I going to be able to do the podcast in the way that people expect it to be? Am I going to be the person on the podcast that people have got used to over the last 10 years of recording? Because there hasn't been a podcast before the last couple of weeks, barring when I was ill, that I haven't been at least partly inebriated. And that was a little bit worrying. And I don't know, actually, if it's any better or any worse. But like T mentioned something on the pod when we did it, that I felt a little bit, you feel a bit naked when you do it. And you are, you're self-aware, much more self-aware, even after 10 years of doing it.
Interesting. I have always been able to tell when you're drunk on the podcast, yeah. I must admit, as a listener. You get giddy. You get quite giddy and overexcited and like you're... You definitely care less about the structure of the pod when you had a beer. Yeah. But that's really enjoyable to listen to every now and again. I think if it was every week, it would get a bit tiresome, but you don't like that every week. You're not, most of the time, you don't sound drunk, and I wouldn't know you'd been drinking unless you told me, which you just have. So to me, there's not a huge difference. Okay. Now I'm aware of it. I'll listen back and keep an eye out. I must admit, I've not really noticed many differences. I mean, I wasn't a daily drinker, so that's probably why. But one thing I have noticed, and this is such a minor thing, but it's interesting, I tend to suffer from quite dry skin, and that is definitely less of a problem.
Yes.
With no alcohol.
Also, without being crude, but going to the toilet or having a poo, it's much better when you're not drinking.
Yeah,
it can be bad. Like when you're waking up hungover, you know, your bowels are just reacting badly from all the what is effective poisons and toxins you put into your body. Yeah. So your body reacts badly. My skin's so much better. And sleep, mate, I can't tell you how well I've been sleeping. The last 8 days, I've had 8 hours straight without waking up every single night. And I used to worry, one of the things I used to worry about is not being able to fall asleep. Like when you're pissed or partly drunk when you go to bed, you can fall asleep like that. You just go. But I without fail will wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And when we did the sleep podcast with James, we talked about this. And in my head, I was just an early riser, but it wasn't that. I know that now. It was the alcohol interrupting my sleep. You can't rest in the same way. And I would spend days tired, like thinking, well, I'm getting on in that. I haven't had a single moment of fatigue in the last week where I just think,
that's so interesting.
I can't do this. I can't be asked to do this. I haven't cancelled a single thing. I've worked longer. I've worked for better for longer. And at the end of the night, when I'm tired, it's because I've exerted my energy. It's not because my body's using up energy dealing with all the shit I've put in it.
That is really interesting. I'm not noticing a difference to my sleep at the moment. I would say, though, that when I've had a few beers, like if I've had a bottle of wine, or let's say I have 5 or 6 beers, I know that the quality of my sleep will be worse. Absolutely guaranteed that it will be worse quality sleep. I'll wake up and I won't feel completely rested. If I just have a couple of beers, I don't think there's any difference for me.
No, it probably needs to be a little bit more than that, I'd imagine, in my experience. Like if I've had a couple of glasses of wine, it wouldn't impact it. But I think if I go to bed, you know, pissed, as I might have done more times than I'd like to admit, I don't know. You know what else, Windy, I've noticed is that I think there's more people with what could be considered a problem or an issue or drinking unhealthily than we know, because I've been talking to people about this. Obviously, this is a new part of my this is something new for me. Like I haven't not been drinking since I started drinking, pretty much. You know, there's all certainly in the last 8 years when I joined Bull Street. You know, when I first joined Bull Street 7 or 8 years ago, that's when it started becoming, you know, excessive, you know, drinking a lot. And this is new. So I've been talking to people about it and letting people know that I'm doing it. And within my conversations with people, I found that they also drink a lot, and they also struggle not to drink. And when they have a few days without it, they hanker after it. I just think it's like it's a bit of an epidemic that just doesn't get talked about because everyone's a little bit ashamed. I wouldn't like to admit how much I drunk previously, and how much I might go on to drink. I'm not saying I'm not being evangelical about this at all. This is what I've noticed, and I'm just gonna be hyper aware going forward that having a drink on one day doesn't mean the next day it's fine to carry on because you started drinking again, and that you can have a drink on one day and the next day and the next day you don't, and then there might be something at the end of the week where you meet up with mates or go out and you drink then because that's what you're supposed to do. But just associating and making habits based on the things in your life and then attaching alcohol to those things is what I did, you know.
Yeah, that's football, the thing, podcast, isn't it? It's stopping the habits.
Yeah, and not everything has to be done with alcohol. Like the thought of watching Spurs versus Leeds, right? First game. That was like quite a tense game. Part of, you know, Leeds were putting pressure on us. For those that don't know, me and Windy support Tottenham. Leeds put pressure on us, and it, you know, usually alcohol would numb some of the
relax you.
Yeah, relax you. Yeah. You know, you kind of think, you know, you're not as sensitive to it. But it weren't that bad. I had a couple of cups of tea. And I watched the Brentford game and had a couple of cups of tea with that. And it was fine. I think the fear of not drinking is worse than not drinking itself for people that feel like they need it as a crutch to get through the day.
I feel like our working culture in the UK has a lot to do with the drinking culture, to be honest, because we're so obsessed with work. And in fact, I'd say dangerously obsessed with work. Work becomes everything. You know, we have to work. It all feeds into itself. It's like house prices are really high, rent is really high. We have to work to be able to live in a decent house. Some areas of the UK less so, but you know, it's certainly in the south, southeast London, it's a real problem. And so you work long hours, you get home, you're knackered, and you want something that will help you quickly decompress from the day. And the best thing for that is a glass of wine or a beer. It immediately makes you feel
much better,
like you're in a different mind state. You can flick a switch and be taken away from your hard day at work. And I know that when I've had particularly long, say I've had a month of work pressures, I can easily get into a habit where I'm drinking every day. Whereas normally I'm very good. I've got a lot of self-control. I'm very good at telling myself, no, actually I won't drink. I'll drink three out of 7 days, because then it's a treat. It's something I'll enjoy. I look forward to it. I'm rewarding myself then.
Yeah.
And I feel that's like a quite healthy.
Yeah.
I think that's quite a healthy way of managing it. And it actually makes me savor the alcohol more. This sounds really snobby, but I don't like to drink cheap alcohol anymore, or alcohol that I consider to be just like 3 out of 10 fine alcohol. I want to drink premium beers that are exciting to me and interesting to me, or a really nice bottle of wine.
So,
because otherwise I feel like I'm wasting my drinking.
It's true. You're true. And if you're going to do it and you can afford to, you might as well drink better stuff, can you enjoy it more. But there's a trap that alcoholics fall into, and that's not what you are. I read a book about this, I can't remember the name, it was actually a couple of months ago, it's an audiobook, and a bloke said that lots of alcoholics, if they have money, don't consider themselves alcoholics because they spend 20 quid on a bottle of wine. And so what they're doing is actually a refined part style of alcoholism. But I know you're right. You're 100% right. And actually using a glass of wine or two glasses of wine after a stressful day, if it makes you feel better, is not an unhealthy way, in my opinion, to use alcohol. It's just if you're using alcohol every day to reach a plateau or just to feel a little bit better, then that's the issue. And
Take the edge off.
I'm looking forward to doing it again. I'm looking forward to having a glass of wine, because I feel like I'll be able to savour it now rather than just drinking it because this is what I do. So I'm
glad you found the happy medium, mate.
I'm quite proud of myself, actually. I am quite proud. I very rarely boost myself, but I am quite proud of myself is what I'd say.
And on that note, our 15 minutes are up.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.